The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, welcome aboard. Guess what? It's not Randy Corporan this morning. Where is that guy? Where did he go today? And no, long pre-planned. I think he's doing something with Governor DeSantis today. I heard that rumor. And so, good friend of Randy Corporan showing up here in the studio named Matt Dunn, the Sunday Backbone Radio guy. And hey, honored to be in here and going to do my best to carry the torch all the way along 3 hours here this morning, and just had a good chat with George Brockler hanging out in the hallways, you know. And he had Pamela Anderson on this morning. Is that right? He had Pamela Anderson and said, I said, she was great in Baywatch. That was a good show. And, but she's, he said that she looks even better on the radio. So, hey, I missed that one. Anyway, welcome to the program. And I don't know. There's an awful lot to come to cover today, but do we have to talk about Alec Baldwin a little bit? I keep wondering if talk radio is going to take on the Alec Baldwin scenario. You guys have all seen that. Very intemperate, rage-filled, hateful individual has now killed a woman on the set of a film he was working on and producing, the main actor and the producer, filmed somewhere near Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he managed to shoot the director of the film and shoot the cinematographer of the film. And the cinematographer, a beautiful young woman, you know, just shot dead by Alec Baldwin, unintentional, of course. But I don't know, what do we make of all that? I just kind of was wondering if there's any pent-up itch for people to sort of comment on the Alec Baldwin scenario. I might save that for an hour or so into the show. But I've been reading up on that and reading up about film safety and all that kind of stuff. And I just, a lot of mixed feelings about Alec Baldwin. And boy, what a horrible, horrible tragedy. But you have to say that Baldwin he's really, genuinely, truly one of the worst people that I've ever encountered in the entertainment world or the political world even. You know, all those years he was so vicious to President Trump. I mean, if you go through his Twitter history, his Twitter timeline, going back years, I mean, he has said everything nasty about basically everybody you can think of, and now he's in a bit of a situation, you might say. And how it's kind of tricky. How do we comment on that, right? I mean, what is it that we can really effectively say and appropriately? Do you want to be appropriate? Should we be appropriate to say about Alec Baldwin? Yeah, I guess. You know, somebody pointed out he was pretty good in Red October. But he was in the recent Mission Impossible in that movie. But, you know, he's got to be with an awful lot on his mind. Will there be criminal charges? Apparently the husband of the deceased cinematographer says that Alec Baldwin has reached out and has reached out with a lot of compassion. And, you'd hope so on that. But is this the end of Alec Baldwin as an actor, as a producer, as a Trump imitator on Saturday Night Live? Is this the end of his career? Should it be? Should he get a pass for this? Or what do you think? Is this, I don't know, the karma word? Is there some karma involved here? Yeah, we'll maybe get to that. We'll see if anybody wants to have anything to say about all of that. And I don't know. I tell you, you know, one thing I notice the big plan of the left right now is they're trying to say, you know, hey, lower your expectations for the economy, lower your expectations for finding products actually on shelves in stores. You know, Washington Post has a big opinion piece advising us to lower our expectations and, you know, don't expect too much out of Joe Biden, right? Okay, well, all right. Should we do that? Should we lower our expectations? You think they would have been that charitable to the last president in office? Say, oh, just be gentle and lower your expectations. But one thing I've noticed is that they told us, you know, that by the way, I sent two more over. I don't know if you saw those right on. I noticed that suddenly things are like complicated when it comes to governing the country. It's like, oh, suddenly things are complicated. It's not that easy to govern anymore. According to the Democrats, according to Biden and Psaki and Pete Buttigieg, that, you know, gosh, you know, this supply chain problem, all those ships full of cargo containers off the coast of California, you know, outside of Long Beach there. Joe Biden couldn't remember Long Beach. He couldn't remember where those ships were. They were somewhere. Those ships were somewhere, like somewhere, you know. Did his little town hall, low ratings town hall the other night. And, you know, it's like they're saying, well, see, you know, it's, hey, the supply chain, that's complicated. Complicated situation, says Pete Buttigieg, who's been off for a couple months on paternal leave. He and his husband adopted one or two children. And so, you know, he's been off doing that stuff. And meanwhile, you know, Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg starting to realize that we're having a, quote, complicated situation on the supply chain. And so, you know, hey, was any of this stuff complicated when Trump was in office? You know, is there suddenly just get complicated now? That's kind of one thing I was just kind of wondering. Jen Psaki, you know, not long ago, was talking about how, you know, yeah, things are complicated in terms of, you know, the border. Oh, it suddenly is like complicated now. And, oh, man, you know, that's the weasel word, you know, when you start getting confused, when you start failing and flailing, when you start blowing it, when you start screwing up the country, when you start screwing up the world. And, you know, you thought you were supposed to be the adults in charge, right? You were supposed to be good at this, right? It's so easy to govern the country. And now it's like they're falling back on, I guess we got to lower our expectations and we got to realize how complicated, you know, things can get out there. As, yeah, Joe Biden, not too complicated, screwing up the country and his poll data crumbling, collapsing. He's down, they're saying, in the mid-30s in even the Quinnipiac, a far-left poll. If you subtract for the far-left poll bias, I think we're solidly in the 20s right now for Joe Biden and, you know, for his team. And they're just finding that it's like, yeah, it's like a little bit of a challenge, you know, to manage the country. And, hey, are we in a recession right now? Is the economy going south on us right now? I saw some data come out, Bureau of Labor Statistics, that blue-collar wages are not going up. In fact, they're actually going down. Ooh. That's not good. And as inflation goes up, the Joe Biden inflationary era, you combine inflation for long enough with wage declines, and what do you call that? You call that a recession. You could even call that stagflation. The stagnant economy, wages going down, combined with inflation going up. Is that, lower your expectations. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not like, you know, it's your right to go into a store and find, like, stuff on the shelves and find products there. It's not like your right to pull into a gas station and have actually there be gas there. I saw, you know, people, how many times has it happened to you? You need to pull into a gas station, right? And they just don't have gas. They got that yellow tape over the nozzles and stuff. That's happened to me a few times in the Biden era. And I'm kind of like, huh, well, I'm just going to dial down my expectations. Just like the Washington Post, Pravda, told me to do. That's what I'm going to, I'm just going to dial those things down a little bit. Yeah, and, you know, if you go to a store and they just don't have stuff, well, you know, that's, hey, you know, that's just to be expected. We've really been spoiled, says the Washington. We've been spoiled all these years of just having, you know, things on the shelves in this country. We've got to learn to love our bread lines. That's, they're actually doing that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I point your attention to Micheline Maynard, Washington Post editorial a couple of days ago. And she says, yeah, it's time for some new and more realistic expectations. And she says, we do ourselves a favor by consciously lowering expectations. And she quotes somebody named Lisa McDonald, who is an owner of an Ann Arbor tea shop, which, you know, she's having trouble running her business. But Lisa McDonald says, quote, I understand people are getting frustrated, but it's time for people to take a chill pill. Oh, yeah, okay, well, let's just take a chill pill about, you know, watching the nation get destroyed and watching everything fall apart in the country. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I mean, when is the last time you saw any good news anywhere in the Biden era? Can you think of any good news? Can you think of any positive developments you've seen or something you felt like, hey, that's good? The only thing that I thought was really, really kind of good that starts making the year tolerable politically. Of course, we're out enjoying our lives and all that, but in terms of politics, but the Let's Go Brandon meme was wonderful, is wonderful. It just cracks me up whenever I think about it, and I love the Let's Go Brandon t-shirts. I love the Let's Go Brandon country songs and rap songs and pop songs, which the rap song was number one on the Apple iTunes platform, which just cracks me up to no end. But, you know, of course, we were talking about it on Backbone Radio last Sunday. I said, oh, you can use Let's Go Brandon as kind of like a code, you know, to mean that, you know, how you feel about Joe Biden. And the social media censors won't shut you down for that. They won't deplatform you for that. But guess what? Facebook predictably stepped up, and they're censoring the Let's Go Brandon language. They won't let you write Let's Go Brandon now. I guess, you know, do you lose your account if you start talking about Let's Go Brandon? Yeah, you know how they are, the tech tyrants, nasty, ugly people controlling your minds. They don't like the First Amendment. They don't like the Let's Go Brandon meme. Isn't that just, they just got no sense of humor. Because Let's Go Brandon is really a really glorious, glorious meme. And one thing we'll get to talk about in this program, something I'm kind of real excited about, actually extremely, is that, you know, President Trump has announced a new social media platform venture called Truth Social, TRUTHSOCIAL.com. And that will be going live in the first quarter of 2022. And I'll tell you what, we are going nowhere in this country until we can get around the vicious, nasty, ugly tech tyrants that control the discourse, censor conservatives, censor the beautiful Let's Go Brandon meme, stuff like that. You know, they've got Trump permanently banned from Facebook. They've got him banned from Twitter. The leader of the opposition, I mean, if we were our United States State Department looking at some third world country in which the opposition leader was banned from the media, you know, we'd be thinking, oh, wow, look at that third world country. That democracy must not be doing well over there. Yeah, they don't have a democracy over there. That's us. Yeah, that is us. That is us in the era of the Joe Biden, of the deep state, of the ruling class running wild. But Truth Social, I think, could be the thing, as far as I can tell, that might help get us around the corner. Apparently, the stock at DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp., which has merged with Trump Technology and Media Corporation, the stock has only gone up 1,200% in 2 days. That's like, a lot of investors are bullish on the Trump Truth social media platform. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if we don't start getting the ability to communicate, to express our First Amendment rights in this country? I mean, we are totally going nowhere. Does Trump have to do everything by himself? How come some other billionaire? How come someone else hasn't like come up with something here? You know, there's a few things out there, but they've never quite gotten the job done to get around Facebook, to get around Twitter. Could this be the thing? I am bullish. I am bullish on all of that. By the way, A.G. Merrick Garland, you've hopefully been following this, that, you know, he's basically sicked the FBI on parents of school kids in the United States if they show up at school board meetings and they have some critical things to say of critical race theory. And, Garland says, hey, I want to put the FBI on you. Oh, what do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Should the FBI be going after parents just because they want to have a voice in the education of their children? Do you think? You know what I think? I think it's time for A.G. Garland to resign for a host of reasons. That guy needs to be, like, go away. And there's some organization, and I have an article on it here. It's the National Association of School something that was recommending that, here it is, National School Board Association. They sent a letter to A.G. Garland of the DOJ, yeah, Biden's A.G. Garland, and they asked, him to, start policing these parents that show up at meetings and they criticize teachers and they criticize curricula for this critical race theory stuff. And Garland was like, yeah, whoa, I'm all over that. Yeah, we're the FBI. We're going to get all over you. And anyway, apparently this has blown up very badly in the face of the National School Board Association, and they're now out apologizing for this letter. For this letter they wrote, demanding action from Garland about these parents that actually care about their kids' education. And so they're going straightly in the wrong direction there. I guess maybe they're trying to correct themselves, but is that not too late? Should the National School Board Association, shouldn't that organization just kind of like go away right now? Isn't that a little too late? Toothpaste out of the tube and all that? I tell you what, you get kind of tired of living in a totalitarian country. You get kind of tired of living in Orwell's 1984. And it's groups like this and it's AGs like Garland, it's presidents like Biden that make all of this happen. And just part of the bad news that I think we always have to face every time you look at anything political right now, okay? It's like bad scene right now in this country. But I don't know. On the optimism side, do you think the American people needed to have a good look at 4 years of Democrat rule? They wanted power. They found a way to get in there and connive their power back. They found ways. They got the power, and then they screw up the country. They screw up the world, and, American people are watching all this. So what do you think? Do you think if we could just get a little bit of election integrity in 2022, 2024, you might see these corrupt, tyrannical, nasty individuals end up thrown out on their ear in a big-time way? The enthusiasm gap, by the way, GOP voters in Virginia, the enthusiasm that the GOP has is dwarfing. Just dwarfing the Democrat enthusiasm in Virginia, which means Republican Glenn Youngkin has a pretty decent chance to beat Democrat Clinton operative Terry McAuliffe in Virginia for that governor's race. It's getting pretty hot out there. I'll comment on that in a little bit. If there is a little election integrity in Virginia, guess what? The Republican wins. I just really hope they're on top of that, and the GOP doesn't get caught flat-footed like it seems to tend to be all too often when it comes down to actually looking at the votes, right? All right. Well, I guess I've been throwing out an awful lot of stuff here. I've got this and more coming up as the program goes on. And it's Matt Dunn. I'm in for Randy Corcoran. Why don't we take our first break here? Glad to be in the studio, and I'll be back tomorrow night for Backbone Radio. But first break coming up right now. All right, Matt Dunn in here for Randy Corcoran this morning. How's everyone doing? I just threw on the tweet. Actually, it looks like the tweet is still sending. maybe that will eventually get in there, that we are we're live, we're local, we're happening. This is the place you want to be. Yeah, gather around, tell your friends. And I don't know. I saw something right before coming in to the studio, and I'll get to the phone lines here. They're already filled up on us. That's awesome. 303-696-1971. But, you know, Chris Wallace at Fox News, the guy that I just cannot abide, Chris Wallace. I mean, what a smarmy snake. He's on Fox News. He's a passionate leftist. And the way he handled one of those presidential debates that last cycle was just so awful. Anyway, Fox News, I mean, you want to, does Chris Wallace love Jen Psaki, the press secretary? Does Chris Wallace love Psaki? Well, yes, he does. Listen to this. I just saw this.
All of a sudden, at this White House press corps, and since I was working in the press corps when Sam Donaldson is there, that's a very grudging compliment on my part. And Jen Psaki, I think, is one of the best press secretaries ever.
What? Jen Psaki, one of the best press secretaries ever? Does anybody out there feel that way about Jen Psaki? She is unbearable, folks. She is just totally incompetent. All of her circle back stuff. Never answers a question. Emerald Robinson of Newsmax tries to ask a question. Jen Psaki turns and burns. Just turns her back, just like Joe Biden does. You know, they turn their back. They're gone. They're at the dough. Anyway, that's what you get from most of Fox News. I mean, I can abide the occasional Tucker Carlson, you know, and occasionally Hannity and, you know, some of it. Oh, you know where that network really is when it comes down to it, when push comes to shove. They like Jen Psaki, yeah, and she is unbearable. I mean, she is so smug, so condescending. She has nothing in common with us Heartland people, just zero, right? You want my opinion? That's my opinion. No thank you on Jen Psaki, the whole package there. Well, should we get to some phone action here? Let's just start saying hellos, and I guess there's a line just opened up. Somebody may have dropped if you wanted to check in. I don't know. Do you like Jen Psaki? Do you want to lower your expectations? Yeah, you want to do that? That's what Pravda tells you to do in the Biden economy. Oh, they're flailing. The adults are supposed to be in charge, and they're busily screwing up the entire country. I mean, there's nothing they're leaving unscrewed up, right? Let's say hello to Cheryl first. Cheryl in Arvada. Welcome, Cheryl.
Well, good morning to you.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I can't stand Jen Psaki.
Oh, totally. Yikes.
yesterday on 31, on one of their newscasts, they were bemoaning a 7.59 gallon of gas in somewhere in California. How awful that was. And I thought, well, make a connection here. Why is gas $7.59 in that city and $4 and up everywhere else? Make a connection. But they don't.
Oh, they don't, huh?
No. Anyway, the Let's Go Brandon. That, you know how that came about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. And I actually brought in the audio again. That was the NASCAR race?
Yeah, it was the Xfinity, which is, there's like two tiers in NASCAR, and that's the one where the up-and-comings race. That was that kid's first win.
His name is Brandon. Actually, since I have it here, it's only 11 seconds long. Actually, how long is it? It's 30 seconds long. Let's just review real quickly while we have you here with us, Cheryl, the origins of the Let's Go Brandon meme, which we have appropriately bleeped out because, you know, there's some words that have to be bleeped out here. Here we go.
Thank you to all of our partners. Oh, my God. Such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me I can hear the chants from the crowd. Let's go, Brandon. You told me you were going to kind of hang back those stages and just watch and learn what learned that helped you there in those closing laps.
Oh my! It was learning how mine didn't stay to one. Everything shifted top
there
to bottom.
There you go.
So much.
So that's Brandon, the NASCAR driver. I don't remember his last name. You might, Cheryl.
I think it was maybe Brown. I'm not sure either.
Yeah, I think
but
you're right.
His first win, and now he's reduced to a that stupid reporter should have just ignored. and not said, oh, listen. Instead, she tried to cover it up.
Yes, she did.
A true lefty would do.
Yep.
And now he
said, oh, look, they're chanting, let's go, Brandon. Yeah. That's so great.
And, Brandon and, Brown.
Brandon Brown yeah. is his name, yes.
And so now, all over the country, that's become the meme. Let's go, Brandon. And he's reduced to, I just feel bad for the kid. I really do.
Oh, well, you know, he is actually world famous. And every stadium, every college football game, and so many pro games, and even at Fenway Park, the Red Sox, they're chanting, let's go, Brandon. Was that last night, two nights ago? Brandon is like the most popular guy in America, and he's constantly getting cheered on. Every time people get together, they cheer on Brandon. I think he's digging it. He's got to be digging it. Come on, Cheryl.
Chris Wallace.
Yeah.
Squeezy little, ooh, and Fox. Now, Tucker Carlson, and then some of their other the things I look at on my Fox page are pretty good or okay. But Chris Wallace, and do you remember, he called, or Fox, called Arizona right away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
During the election, and it was, that was. Anyway,
what they'll do is Fox News will, you know, they despise their viewers. You know, they're just making money off their viewers, and they serve up the stuff that they know that the viewers believe in, like, you know, things about the country. They serve up quite a bit of that. But then when it comes down to actually having, when it actually matters, right, when it actually counts, they are going to go full tilt, hardcore leftist. And that's what you saw from Fox. And that won't be forgotten anytime soon. And the rise of Newsmax is really. Is really it's something, absolutely. The rise of OANN.
They're not allowed to touch on the election fraud.
Yep, I've noticed that. I've noticed that. And Tucker never, ever wanders into that territory,
no,
really. I mean, once in a while, but
thoroughly
pretty.
Thoroughly warned.
Yep.
We'll enjoy it today.
Well, we'll do, Miss Cheryl. Thank you for checking in. So honored to have you on board. And we've got a lot more to go. And what if we, and I've got some things on this, the gas prices. Jen Psaki comes out, speaking of Jen Psaki, oh, there's nothing a president can do on gas prices. There's not a thing. Oh, really, Jen Psaki? Well, I've got a few suggestions of some things that Biden could do. I'll save those here for a minute. Let's say hello to Chuck down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the program, Chuck.
Morning there, Matt.
Yeah, how's things?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to talk about the governor's race there in Virginia.
You talked about it for a second. McAuliffe v. Youngkin. Democrat McAuliffe versus Republican Glenn Youngkin. And getting interesting out there. Something's happening in Virginia, according to pollster Richard Barris, who's probably one of the best pollsters out there. There's maybe one or two good ones.
With those polls, I mean, right now they're showing it like a dead heat. But here's the thing, though. As we know, like in the past, like with 2016 and all, you can't really go by those polls. But
of course.
But let me set this up for you, though. You know, for the Democrats, this is a must win, right? I mean, this is almost like for them, like to win, like at any cost. So we always hear like about we need a Ronald Reagan candidate and stick to the issues and everything and don't mention the election fraud and all, which this guy hasn't done. But now, let me ask you this. If you, for the bonus round, if you had to lay everything on the line that you've got, do you believe that the Republican wins this time, or you think McAuliffe pulls it out?
Well, I actually think that if we have good, solid election integrity in Virginia, I think Youngkin wins this thing. I think by the time the leftist poll data is saying that it's a dead heat, that they're tied at 46-46, which is what they're saying, then I think that means the Republican is up. But I've been reading some stuff that, you know, McAuliffe and the Democrat team in Virginia are trying to pull all kinds of last-minute changes to how the voting is established and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there's some organization that I've been following them on Twitter that says – that they are on top of it. They're not letting the Democrats get away with anything in Virginia. They're not doing anything at all that will actually get through. They've got their lawyers all over them. So I guess we'll just find out, you know. But something's happening out there. And just while I'm on this, the enthusiasm gap in Virginia, and this is from the Monmouth poll, which is a good lefty poll. They have Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin tied at 46%. Youngkin leads with independent voters 48-39%. In the enthusiasm gap, get this, Democrats are up by almost 20 points, 49% GOP to 26% Democrat. What is that? Well, so that's 15% GOP enthusiasm advantage. That's solid.
Well, they held a rally in that Loudoun County, like where they're, you know, where they had the trouble, like with the transgender situation and all that, and the of course with the parents protesting and all. And they said that the amount of people that came out for that rally was absolutely tremendous. If you go by that,
meaning the Republican rally,
right. Because that's the big issue out there. I mean, that's like it's like ground zero, and then like the golden nugget out of it was when Terry McAuliffe said like about parents have no right to guide their child's
right. Terry McAuliffe totally dismissive of parents being involved at all in their children's education. And he's trying to walk that back, and he's trying to say, well, that's not what I said. I didn't say that, but, oh, people heard that loud and clear. And, this parent, his daughter was allegedly sexually assaulted in one of those sort of boy plus girl whatever bathrooms in Virginia. And then the principal of that school, apparently the superintendent, covered that whole thing up, and That's bad, right? And they were even going to try to prosecute this parent who was raising Cain about it. And the prosecutor, the district attorney there, has ties to George Soros. There's, I mean, that's got everything going on out there in Virginia.
Well, the only thing I can leave you with here is now with all that enthusiasm and all the momentum and everything else going our way, I still predict that Terry McAuliffe, if you watch, will pull it out by about 10,000 votes. So if that's the case, and like I said, the election hasn't been, you know, the 2020 hasn't been talked about at all, because I heard the way that guy handles it, and it was pretty good. I guess we can't blame him on that, then, can we?
Well, it is, frankly, my gut instinct, it'd be hard to imagine the Democrats allowing McAuliffe to lose in Virginia. It's just hard to imagine. Would they actually let that guy lose? I mean, he is so tied in to the Democratic power structure. Would they actually let him go? Wouldn't they find a way to save his bacon? But, at some point, though, they can't quite do it. When you win by enough, it's hard for them to do it. And hopefully the energized Republicans are just all over it on watching every little detail and how the voting integrity goes out there. And just one more note, Chuck, on this. Did you see that? I mean, the Youngkin had a huge rally, right? You were just mentioning in Loudoun County.
Right.
But up in Northern Virginia, McAuliffe brought in Kamala Harris to have a rally. And what? Less than 100 people showed up. And I was watching there was a little video on it. And they're 40 minutes past the start time of the rally, and there's less than 100 people there. And that's like, you know, I mean, the Democrats can't do rallies. People just don't want to come out and listen to Kamala even, or Biden, obviously, or basically any Democrat. That includes McAuliffe. And you just realize, you know, how synthetic and how fake their whole operation is. It's just a kind of a propaganda deal from the media, you know?
Yeah. So, only thing I can say is, let's go, Brandon.
Yeah. You can't say it on Facebook, though, man. Just don't even think about saying that there. They're going to shut you down for that. Nope. But we got to get around it. At any rate, but McAuliffe, he's bringing in all the heavy hitters. He's bringing in Kamala. I believe Biden's been out there for him. And does that help? I would think that probably at this point hurts. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of, you know, sending you in the wrong direction there? Jeez. Anyway,
they probably had to explain a half hour where he was, but I'm going to lower my expectations.
Good.
That way, like, when we lose,
The lower the better in the Biden era. Exactly. Just keep them low, and you know, and things will go better for you, Chuck.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Hey, you take care, sir. All the best to you. Thanks for calling from Oklahoma. And anyway, hey, Matt Dunn. I'm in for Randy Corcoran. And why don't we just keep on talking everything through? Let's take a break. Be right back. Sounds like the Allman Brothers there. Matt Dunn in for Randy Corcoran this morning. So glad you're here. 303-696-1971. Feel free to check on in. I think I might start the next hour with, I don't know, does anyone want to say anything about the Alec Baldwin scenario? Yeah, tricky one. How does that one get covered? What's the best way to talk about that really tragic, really ugly situation? Keep your eye on that ball here. Joe Biden had that weird town hall two nights ago, so it was Thursday night. And did you notice he was like standing there holding his arms like rigidly, like in this bizarre posture, like he was like holding maracas or something? And he just like was frozen in place for like a minute or two. And just something is off about Joe Biden. Something is wrong about his motor neuron transmissions. I don't know. That was embarrassing. I've got a little bit of audio from the things. Apparently, it was terribly low ratings. Like it was really bad ratings. And that's the Biden era, right? They can't have rallies. Nobody shows up. They do a town hall. They do whatever. Nobody watches. But yet, 81 million votes. Yeah. How come he never crows about that? You know, you ever wonder how come you never hear Biden boasting about that everywhere he goes? And by the way, he's going back to Delaware for the weekend. He's irresistibly drawn to that basement in Delaware where he ran his basement campaign in 2020. And he's heading back there this weekend. Yeah, good for him. By the way, caller Cheryl brought up the topic of gas prices. Gas was $7 and something in some California town, and they're higher here. And like I was saying, every so often, I saw Christian Toto, the film critic, was saying, hey, he and his wife were trying to get gas. They couldn't find gas. A gas station didn't have it. They went to another one. It was really big, long lines. And, hey, I don't know, folks. The Biden era, let's keep those expectations down for, like, anything being acceptable. Right. But in terms of gas prices, I have some helpful suggestions for the Biden administration on how they could maybe be a little helpful there. But Jen Psaki, she comes out and she's, oh, no, there's very limited things we can do. And, you know, I have this little clip here. You'll listen to this. Hey, we are engaging with OPEC. What does that mean? Yeah, it means like you're begging OPEC to pump more oil. You're begging OPEC. What kind of a position is that to be in? Trump gave us energy independence. We had cheap and abundant gas. We were exporting energy from America. Biden shows up, turns that all upside down, and now he's like having to beg OPEC to pump more oil. What a disaster. I mean, what a joke. This is like pathetic. Here we go, Jen Psaki.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you, if I can, about gas prices. The president was asked about that. A lot of Americans have been concerned about the cost to go to the pump these days. He said, I don't see anything that's going to happen in the meantime that's going to significantly reduce gas prices. He said, I don't have a near-term answer. For Americans who are looking for an answer, what is the answer?
Well, what is true, and I think the president, as I said earlier, was quite candid last night, as the American people should expect from him and from any president. And there are limitations to what any president can do as it relates to gas prices. Here's what we have been doing. As we've said for some time, we are engaging broadly with OPEC on our concerns at a range of levels. And that is something we will continue to do. As you know, Jake Sullivan, our national security advisor, recently met with leaders in Saudi Arabia and certainly raised this issue.
Yeah, okay. They're engaging broadly with OPEC. Is that the best you can do? Translate that to begging broadly with OPEC. How just weak. How weak is this country in the Biden era? But, just a few suggestions. If you want to lower gas prices, I mean, maybe that would help get Biden's poll data up from where it is around his ankles right now. And Sundance, the conservative treehouse, has a few points, and I thought these were spot on. One, permit the use of pre-existing approved leases in Anwar, Alaska, to put more volume into the Alaskan oil pipeline that is severely underutilized. Two, finish the Dakota Access Pipeline. Three, reapprove the pre-existing energy leases in New Mexico, Arizona, Northeast Atlantic, and Gulf of Mexico. Four, retract the stoppage of the Keystone Pipeline to permit efficient oil transport shipments from Canada. Five, stop blocking the expansion of coastal oil refineries in Texas, Louisiana, and Alabama. Oh, that's a regulatory issue. As well as Northwest, Northeast, and Southeast Seaboard. Six, are we on six? Continue to develop natural gas as a clean-burning fuel. And seven, drive liquefied natural gas as an export. Those, pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward, right? And that's very, very doable. Wouldn't you rather just do that than have to go around begging OPEC to save us, send Jake Sullivan, the great Russia conspiracy spygate operative, Jake Sullivan, send him over to talk to the Saudis, the House of Saud. Pete Boyles, I'm sure, loves that, right? He spent how many shows has he done about the House of Saud? Yeah, send Sullivan over there to beg for more oil. Here's a Trump tweet from July 4th, 2017, quote, "Gas prices are the lowest in the U.S. in over 10 years. I would like to see them go even lower." Yeah, I would too. I'd like to see them go a lot lower, especially right now, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, we're talking about Biden's town hall. So he goes on the town hall. And, we have this wide open border problem, right? Have you noticed that? It's like really bad. And apparently they're flying migrants around the country in the middle of the night and placing them in various places. And I believe that includes right here in Colorado. Middle of the night. Why can't they do it in broad daylight? Because they know it's so unpopular. But Anderson Cooper asked Joe Biden, "Hey, maybe want to get down to the border? Want to get down there and check it out?" And he's like, oh, he's holding his arms all rigid. He's like, looks like he doesn't quite know where he is. And he says this.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down. But the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But okay,
so it's clearly he just doesn't have the time to go check out the border, to go make his presence felt there, to go see for himself. And it's become quite a little debate. Has he ever even been to the border? Remember that all that time Kamala Harris wasn't going to go to the border. But then Trump went down to the border, while living in Florida, he went down there. And then so Kamala had to show up. And I think she wandered into El Paso for a few minutes and said a few things. And anyway, but what is Biden doing that he doesn't have time to go down there? Well, he's always going back to the basement in Delaware. What is it about that Delaware basement that is so alluring to Joe Biden? I mean, what is it that gets him so fired up to keep on going back to Delaware when, there's other places to go and, hurricane damage? He's doing a lot of that traveling around the world. I don't remember a whole lot of that. It seems like he's kind of like shows up, does like about a 2-minute pre-recorded phony press conference thing. And then he's gone and doesn't really do much. He's like president for maybe an hour a day. At most, a few days a week, then it's back, out of town. That's our guy. And by the way, I should ask, when do we need to step out of this segment? Is this okay? The timing is always different for all of our different programs. All right, a lot more of this forthcoming here. And I do think I just at least want to explore. I'm trying to get some facts out there. What do we know about what happened with Alec Baldwin shooting and killing a woman, wounding, shooting a director of the film he was cutting in New Mexico? What do we know about that? And is there anything that needs to be said about that? Anyway, Matt Dunn, I'm in for Randy Corporan. Be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.